Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Hey, good morning, Canada, and welcome to the Rod Peterson Show here on a Wednesday morning. Darren DuPont in for Rod Peterson, who's still on the beach hanging out with the iguanas in Mexico. He was ripping down the water slide.
Just different than the lizards he hangs out with here.
Like a missile, he was going down the water slide in
Cabo. He went down it?
Oh, yeah.
I saw some people.
Him and Tyler, our sales guy. Right down, it's on his Instagram story. So that Instagram story is pretty great. You got to check out Rod's Instagram story at Rod Peterson Official, I think. Rod's in Mexico. We are here alongside Derek Myers, who you heard. Nick Lewis is in the building as well. The big story today is from Dave Naylor at TSN. It's the TJ Jones situation, who's a Canadian receiver, played his college at Notre Dame with the Fighting Irish, then went to the NFL, played 45 games with the Giants and the Lions between 2015 and 2019. Earlier this year, or this month, agreed to a contract with the Toronto Argonauts valued at around $200,000, but language in the collective bargaining agreement that was signed last spring has prohibiting him from signing that contract because a Canadian who's gone and played in the NFL and is coming into the CFL for the first time is considered a rookie in the league and is bound to rookie minimum contracts, which would be, you know, the league minimum or a little bit more. I think the league minimum $65,000. And a 27-year-old Canadian with NFL experience, you got to find a way to get him into the game. Nick, I really want your thoughts on this before we bring in McLeod Bethel Thompson, who's patiently waiting.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the PA was trying to look after, or the league was really looking after teams, right? And to not get into bidding wars with draft picks. They could have worded it a lot better because he's not a draft pick coming into the league. He's put in work. And if you see, I believe I read in that same story last year, someone else signed for a little over 80 or something like that coming up. And wouldn't be able to do that this year. So you just got to put into the language. And the teams, I don't think this should deter anything because, I mean, if Randy Ambrosi can change rules in the middle of the season, let's change this rule and get TJ in the league because, like I said, he's going to go to the XFL.
Yeah, if he doesn't get his deal.
Absolutely. So you have that a Canadian now going to the XFL, bringing even more talent, closing that gap. Or you go in, just change the language, and let him get his $200,000. I mean, he's an athlete. He's obviously worth it to that team. Let him go.
And that should be their business. I mean, if they can fit it in under the cap, this is kind of still a free market. You know, if they're willing to spend that, and if it falls under the cap, I don't see why this becomes a problem. And again, yeah, the guy's clearly proved himself. This isn't a rookie salary guy.
And because he's Canadian, he can't go on a neg list. So that makes it even more interesting, right? Because now teams actually have to bid on him, and multiple teams did. And that's where they probably landed on the $200,000.
Very interesting story this morning. This won't be the last that we bring this up today, but for now we go out on the video chat and join Toronto Argonauts quarterback McLeod Bethel Thompson. Yeah, put your headphones on, guys. Where do we find you this morning, McLeod? Are you in California, or are you out in Toronto?
No, I'm in California. I'm currently in Oakland, California, actually at my brother's house.
Nice. So last I heard from you, spending the off season. Is this right? Working on your master's in education at Cal Berkeley? Is that still, are you still in class? Are you still working on that?
Yeah, I'm actually reading some papers this morning, and hopefully I'll finish up my thesis this spring. I'm a little bit behind right now, but I'm trying to play catch up and finish up before the season starts.
Look at this. How does that work with you while you're playing professional football in Toronto, trying to work on your master's degree? That's pretty great.
Yeah, I love the Canadian Football League for that. The 6 months on, 6 months off really provides a good chunk. And I'm one of those people that if I'm not doing anything, I'm bored and I drive people around me crazy. So I got to keep my hands occupied. So the 6 months off was a really good time for me to jump in and take this program. And it works perfectly with the spring semester. So I'm very grateful that the Canadian Football League is structured that way. And I'm excited to kind of improve myself in other areas outside the game.
What's the plan with the master's degree? Is this more just, hey, ready for whenever football is done, life after football, or something you can kind of use during the year or during the off season, or what's the plan here?
A little bit of both, for sure. It's the program is called the Cultural Studies of Sports and Education. It's at Cal Berkeley, and it's kind of a relatively new program, but it integrates the worlds of sports and education. So I'm currently working on a very esoteric kind of educational terms in the coaching of and the implication of football itself. So it's definitely something that looks good on a resume down the road, but that's not kind of my purpose. I kind of do it for the love of it and pick up nuggets here and there that I think play football and also set me up for life beyond.
I'm just curious, McLeod, does this have any tie-ins when it comes to quarterbacks and the language you have to learn as a quarterback when it comes to learning the playbooks and learning different playbooks and being able, is that kind of the path that this is involved in and the symmetry between them? Am I correct in that?
Well, to not get too far into it, because I'd be talking you guys ear off for the next like 40 minutes.
I find it really interesting. Yeah,
is that's exactly kind of what I'm talking about.
Okay,
so I'm using this educational term. Vygotsky was this educator at the turn of the century, and he kind of got published in 1978. Was his last book, and he has this educational term called zone of proximal development, which basically says that a learner's ability with help is their true. With assistance is their true understanding of their educational potential. So how we can use those educational tools in an area of football to help kids understand measurable skills like, okay, if you train for 3 weeks, you can improve your 40 time by this amount of time, and then do that in cognitive areas as well. And they can actually measure and see for themselves and develop agency through seeing that growth. And then using those kind of tangible and measurable growth and apply that to educational domain that, like, if you do read a book, then you will become a better English student. And trying to just make those crossovers between sport and academics.
Hey, McLeod, it's Nick Lewis here. How have you used that to really learn from so many different offensive coordinators that you have every year in Toronto? Does that really help you? Because every year, I mean, you're going with Jarius now, which is a version of Tressman's system. I think a little bit more advanced now, but.
I kind of cut out there at the end, but I think I heard the whole question. Absolutely. I mean, that's the greatest thing about football is that it is a language. It's a discourse. And I feel at this point, I mean, I was in the NFL and I learned probably maybe conservatively 10 to 12 offenses in my 6 years there. And then I've been up in Toronto and I learned another 3 now. And it's just each time you learn it, you find a different way of learning it. You learn how you learn. You learn the best way to understand it. Do you want to watch it as you're learning? Do you want to watch film? Do you want to learn the basics and know the terms before you jump into film and kind of see it visually? Each year, each time, I think I'm getting better at learning offense, I enjoy the challenge. I enjoy the growth. I enjoy the seeing different ways to beat a defense, and I'm really excited to work with Coach Dinwiddie. So far, it's been absolutely fantastic, and Coach Jackson, met him when I was up in Toronto. Really excited to jump in with his offense and kind of learn from him. He's played in the league and coached in the league for so long at such a high level that it's just another expert at their level that can help me become a better football player.
Toronto Argonauts quarterback McLeod Bethel-Thompson joining us on the video chat from California. Hey, I don't want to really look back at last year. It was, good and bad. I mean, the team, we know about the struggles, but, I mean, over 4,000 yards, 9 300-yard games, 26 touchdown passes. How are you feeling heading into, another season building off of that? Because, we know that you're a competitor. We've heard that a lot. And now you've got another battle, with Matt Nichols in terms of trying to, win that starting job coming out of training camp. But you had a great year statistically last year. How are you feeling through the offseason heading in towards training camp?
I feel great. I feel awesome and excited the growth that I had. I think that maybe about 10 years down the road, I'll write a movie about last year and you'll see the craziness that it truly was. From top to bottom, it was a exotic adventure in many ways. But I think my 3 years in Canada have been very much the same way. I think that each year I've grown in different ways as a person and as a player. And like you said, I'm really confident coming off of last year. I played 13 games, 9 of them. I I threw for over 300 yards. I was only played a half in two of those. I was benched twice, and I'm confident in my skills, and I'm excited to go into a competition with another great player, Matt Nichols, who I have a lot of respect for. I don't shy away from that. Do I think that I should be given a job? No, that's football. Like, competition breeds the best out of everybody. So I'm excited to work with Coach Dinwiddie. I'm excited to work with Coach Jackson. They always say that, like, a flower doesn't try to compete with the, you know, flower next to them in nature. It just blooms. And so that's kind of my growth in these last 3 years, is to not look side by side, to not look to the person next to you, and just see how I can show market improvement. And I know my best football is ahead of me. I know what my potential is, and now my job is to prove it to everyone else, and to go show and win football games.
I love that, McLeod. In a world...
I think he's minoring in philosophy as well here.
But in a world where entitlement's at an all-time high, everybody wants things easy and given to them. Here's a guy who's put up numbers and, you know, knows and understands that you got to continue to work and battle and wants the competition. I love that. But you're going to have your work cut out for you, man. I mean, you look at last year's roster, and we were talking about this in hour one. Your top six receivers in right? I mean, Darrell, S.J. Green, Armani Edwards, James Wilder Jr., but you brought in some new players, Daveris Daniels, Juwan Breskison among them, and trying to bring in T.J. Jones. What do you think about what's being built around you in terms of some new weapons and some changes there?
No, absolutely. And I sit on both sides of this fence. I want to first by saying that I absolutely love and admire the teammates that I played with for the last 3 years, and especially last year. What we went through was episodic, like I said, and the way people fought and stayed together through things that they couldn't be controlled. Forever respect for, you know, an SJ Green, a James Wilder, these guys that worked their butts off, and all of them, top to bottom players that just kind of stuck it out and through thick and thin were showed their character and showed who they are as men. And I really play the game for my teammates, and that's to earn the respect of my teammates is why I step on the field and why I take shots in the chin, is because that's what this game's all about. It's pure respect. It's winning, and it's doing it as a band of brothers. Having said that, like, going into this year, I'm super, super excited. Seeing Coach Dinwiddie and Coach Jackson and you know, pinball, and how what kind of culture they're breeding and what we're going forward, I think that we're on the precipice of something really good, and I think that. The amazing thing about the CFL football game is that a team can go from not winning a lot of games to winning a whole lot of games. And I think we're on that path. And obviously there's a ton of hard work ahead of us. And, you know, we have to go work through training camp and through the season. And there's a lot of attention to detail to be done, but I'm excited about where we're going.
McLeod, you've kind of alluded to it a couple times here, and I'm just curious as to maybe some what you're talking about. You talked about last year and being a bit of a movie maybe down the road. Can you maybe give us a trailer of what you're talking about? What was it? The difficulties maybe that went on? Because you've kind of, you know, maybe mentioned it. It sounds kind of like it was maybe... I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it does sound like it was an interesting season, and maybe what you're referring to there.
Yeah, it was bizarre. I mean, just any time a team can go 4-14 and be that talented, there's got to be something, you know, that's getting in the way of that. So it was no one person's fault. It was no, you know, it was a crazy universe kind of cosmic reaction that I think something was tainted in the water, or we had bad mojo, or someone put a voodoo curse on us. It was just a crazy season, and you kind of just have to take the lessons you get from it and learn and move on. And yeah, I think you'll see 10 years down the road with the movie. So,
I was just wondering who the star of that movie was maybe going to be.
Everything as an athlete, man, you go through so much, and yeah, like you said, it's hard because you're in a situation you can't really, you know, you can't really say anything about it.
Yeah,
because you're in right?
I mean, you're in it, but I mean, you're going back into another situation, and you don't want to get put in a situation.
Oh yeah.
You know, yeah,
it's tough.
I'm anxious for the movie.
I know players that played there last year. I know people that coached there last year, and I know a little bit about what was going on. And yeah, it's very rough for y'all guys, man. So I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm a fan, man. So go out there and sling it.
Nice.
So McLeod, I'm a big fan of good people over qualified people. Good people always win. And when it comes to the Toronto Argonauts and the CFL, I mean, there's no better person to circle than pinball. right? What culture is being built in Toronto? What's the pinball effect right now with the Argonauts?
Spend 2 seconds with that man and you'll see the amazing juice for life that he has. I mean, the amount of times I've run into people across the Ontario province and, you know, at an airport or at this or at that, and they're kind of like, oh, what do you do? What are you doing here? Oh, I play for the Toronto Argonauts. Oh, pinball. You know, it's an immediate reaction. It's immediate. And fans that he's met, you know, 20 years ago or people he's had one interaction with, you can see just the spark of life he provides. And I think that's the direction we all go. If you have someone at the core of your organization that has that type of juice and has that type of love for their peers and has that type of vision, but also, you know, he's a winner and that's here to do it. And that's in all parts of his life. So I think it's just a magnetic force that is going to bring people together and push it in the right direction.
McLeod, that's great. I'll let you get back to the books. Appreciate you taking a study break to spend some time with us this morning. And, hey, we wish you all the best. Looking forward to getting the season started.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Anytime.
All right. That's Toronto Argonauts quarterback McLeod Bethel-Thompson. And 4,024 yards last season, 9 300-yard games, 26 touchdowns. His counterpart, now he was injured, but Matt Nichols, 1,900 yards, 15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. So it'll be a good battle. It'll be a fun battle. But I love his attitude.
I had to go down that path as a Cowboys fan. I love dysfunction, and I love the story of dysfunction. And it sounds like maybe there was a little bit there. But yeah, the guy puts up that kind of numbers. You know, when there is some unrest, he's got some moxie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we saw the resiliency. I mean, that game was it the Winnipeg game? The big comeback game. I mean, there was some resiliency there in that squad, and I did like the way they played. It didn't quit. There's something to that.
A lot of numbers, you know, it's like Dak. A lot of numbers come late in games, right? There's sometimes the game's out of hand, and you put up that extra 100 and something and makes the numbers look good. But I think he's definitely a quality quarterback. He's got arm strength. He can throw the ball all around the field. You know, just got to protect the ball.
Is it a fair comparison? He does remind me, maybe it's because he's in Toronto a bit, but he does kind of have a Zach Caleros quality to him, I think. Like he just seems to go out there when a mistake happens. He just rolls back out there. Like, he's still going to chuck the ball. He's still going to play and be who he is. And I you know, you got to kind of admire the guy for that. And that whole interview I didn't realize we're going down that path. That was really interesting. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that, actually.
You get as a young quarterback, and when you get all these different coordinators, makes it very hard because you're always learning a different system. You're always doing these things, and you're trying to go do the best you can with what you have. And like you said, when there's turmoil for a young quarterback, it makes it very hard to be successful because everybody might not be on the same page in the coaching staff, or different things might be going on in the organization, and just makes it very hard to compete consistently. You see he has the talent to do it, and like I said, just got to score sevens and protect the ball.
Got to remember, Anthony Calvillo played in Hamilton and wasn't really that good. It does take time.
He was in Vegas, too.
Yeah, he was in Vegas.
He was in Vegas, too. Takes time, right? It takes a lot of time. John's watching this morning, says, good morning, Rod and Dennis from Scottsdale. I think you mean Darren, and I don't think Rod's here. But that's okay. Good morning, John. We love you watching. All the best. This is Nick, and meet Derek if you haven't met the two here hanging out. Wayne's watching, says, Wayne Grollo, McLeod is obviously a good man. Wish him good luck, except when playing the Riders. LOL.
Of course.
All right, we got to take a break. More of your thoughts and more to get to. We'll unpack more of that McLeod Bethel-Thompson interview, get into the TJ Jones situation a little bit more, and we got Arash Madani still ahead in hour two, and he's going to have some thoughts on these things. You know that for sure. This is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Our new inventory has just arrived, and we already want it gone. Costco special member pricing is back. That means massive discounts for Costco members, plus members get a $500 Costco cash card with purchase of select new vehicles. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
celebrate the fifth anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s. All with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Hey, welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show here on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com. Darren DuPont, Derek Myers, and Nick Lewis here in the bunker. Hey, this is big. This came out yesterday when it comes and pertains to the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. I've wanted to get into this for a little bit this morning. We just have had so much other news to get to. I want to get to this ahead of Arash Madani, and then we'll be joined by Arash Madani of Sportsnet. It was out yesterday. IOC member Dick Pound, he's the longest serving member of that organization, mentioned that Tokyo organizers have a few months till about late May to see if the coronavirus is under control. If not, you're probably looking at a cancellation. That's from Dick Pound, 13-year member of the IOC, longest-serving member there. And then today, Japanese government officials saying, hey, as of now, the games are going forward as planned.
Yeah.
The games... You can't cancel an Olympic Games. Now, it's not unprecedented. In wartime, they've been canceled. 1980, no, 84.
Boycotts.
There's been threats of boycotts, and there's been boycotts. You look at 1980 in Russia, 84 in L.A.?
Yeah.
And others, there's been threats of boycotts, too. They've been, you know, canceled at wartime in the 40s. That's happened. But the Olympics is so important to sport. And I don't know that we completely understand just how big it is to amateur sports. With all due respect to amateur sports, nobody cares about the world championships. Nobody cares about nationals or provincials or state championships or NCAA championships. Really, on a big global scale, nobody cares. In those sports, in those schools, it matters. But if there's no Olympics... And you'll have to run the numbers. You're going to see drop-offs in registration for all those summer sports, whether it's soccer or water polo or swimming or track or whatever it may be. There's a bump, and it may not be publicized and it may not be obvious, but there's a bump in sponsorship dollars and government funding, and there's a bump in athlete participation, and there's a bump in viewership numbers and television. The Olympics is a big deal, and there's a lot of people in Calgary that don't see the value of the Olympics, that don't want to host an Olympic Games because the venues aren't maximized enough, and it doesn't bring enough economic value to the community, and it spends too much money, and I just don't care about sports. But the Olympics matter. Just like the Super Bowl, you might not be a football fan, but it brings people together, young, old. Doesn't matter what color your skin is or what race you are, what gender you are.
J-Lo and Shakira bringing people together, wasn't it?
That brings people together. But the Olympics matter.
Yeah, but this thing's just getting started.
But also, people's health matters, too.
This coronavirus is just getting started.
Just getting started.
I mean, they might as well go and cancel this.
There's been thousands of confirmed cases.
And you don't know for 2 weeks. So how many people do you come in contact with, you know, every 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't this just give the Russians another out to say, oh, we were just taking some antibiotics to make sure we didn't get the coronavirus that also happened to contain horse steroids? Isn't this another excuse for the Russians to just to make up a cover story here?
I wouldn't go.
If I wouldn't go.
I wouldn't go.
I would say
I wouldn't even entertain it.
That would be my opinion. Is you still host, and if there's athletes that say, I'm out. Then you don't go. I remember a few years ago, and this is obviously on a far different scale, but remember the Zika virus? So the Zika virus was going on. It was kind of coming up through South America and stuff. We had to make a decision. My girlfriend was pregnant at the time. We were going to the Dominican, and we had to make a decision on, was it worth going? And I ended up going with my other two children, but she stayed back because she just wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
We didn't cancel the trip. The Olympics still went on, but she as an individual, and I think you're right, as an individual athlete, you make that decision because there's risk and reward in everything. Stepping on a football field, there's risk and reward. And that should be up to the individual athletes, I think, or the member athletic association, so like the COC or something, to make that decision.
Is there a cure in 3 months?
Globally.
They're working hard in Saskatoon.
Globally, they've reached over 80,000 confirmed cases and nearly 3,000 deaths due to the coronavirus. So it's no small thing.
No.
And you have to worry about your health. Now, if you're going to continue to put the Olympics on and you're going to let each, governing body, each country, whatever, decide if they're going to send people or not, then what does the Olympics mean?
How do you protect them? How can you protect me or anyone that goes to the Olympics? And then how can I perform at my best?
Knowing that.
The reason I lost.
As soon as you have that inkling that you might not be safe, you're maybe not going outside to train. You're maybe not going to different places. Sure. You're just trying to...
But it also allows for there will be people that Andre DeGrasse says, I'm not going. I'm not going to run in the 100 meters. Maybe Derek Myers goes, well, hey, here's an opportunity. Maybe, and it goes, not Derek Myers, but you know what I'm saying.
You're saying there's a chance.
There will be people. Will you? It will be viewed as an 84 in LA or as an 80.
Derek Myers last clocked at a 9:40.
Oh, maybe. But there will be people go. It would still be looked at. People look at the boycott at 84 Olympics and go, it was still an Olympics and people still medal, but it wasn't a true because you didn't have all the communist countries there. But there was still an Olympics. And I think this could end up being the case. The Olympics will go on. Whether Canada goes or the U.S. goes or some of these individual countries, they may just say, it's not worth it for our athletes and maybe not go. But in some form, there will still be people there because they have deemed it, the risk isn't... the reward outweighs the risk is what that's I'm sure what will happen.
Death.
But
yeah, that's the risk. No, and we kind of joke a little bit, but we're not. Yeah. That's a real risk. Yeah. Right.
And if you look at a month ago, how many people had it to now? So imagine next month, because everybody's going to spread it to not one person, but multiple.
More.
Well, and that was the latest, and again, not following the news side of it as closely as some of the news outlets are, clearly, not even close. But if you had traveled overseas to China, you had to be put in a 2-week quarantine upon returning.
Well, that was
These athletes all going to do that?
No,
not
that,
a chance.
That was definitely a question we were asked because we were just down in Florida. That was a question we were asked kind of every level of security he almost go through. Have you been in China the last 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Which, is a very fair question at this point in time. It didn't bother me, but it was something I took note of was definitely being asked. Have you been? Wasn't had you been in Alaska? No, it was had you been in China the last 2 weeks.
And one of the suggestions, one of the suggestions that's come up is finding alternate venues, whether it's London, which has been brought up, or others.
People bring it though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
You can't, are you not going to allow the Chinese athletes and the Japanese athletes to compete in the Olympics?
It spread.
Italian now.
It spread at sea on a cruise ship. It's everywhere that people go.
It is.
So
it's everywhere. So that's, it becomes a big deal. And the other, comment that came out is if you start moving events around and trying to find available facilities and you have the track events over here and you've got some of the pool events over here, it becomes like having a bunch of simultaneous world championships on at one time.
Yeah.
Not an Olympic Games. So it's a story I'm going to be following for sure.
It's interesting.
Corona TV, though.
Corona.
There's got to be something when everybody stops going outside for a while. There's got to be some entertainment.
Got to be something.
So.
So it could be the Olympics?
No, it won't be the Olympics. No, I'm saying what will be the form of entertainment. It's going to be Twitter, Facebook,
CFL,
Instagram, because nobody's going to sit in the house and just do nothing.
Maybe we could launch a CFL channel. 24-hour, like the NFL Network, CFL Network.
We'll talk to Arash Madani.
I'm voting for this guy to get a show.
There you go. We'll talk to Arash Madani about this and a whole lot more. He's in Dunedin for Blue Jays spring training. We'll do that after a quick break. This is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop staffed by PGA of Canada professionals is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%? That's people.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show. Darren DuPont in with you, and full bunker today. Nick Lewis and Derek Myers are alongside, but we go out to Dunedin on the video chat and join Arash Madani in Florida. You're looking good. Are you? What's the latest in Dunedin on your day today, Arash?
It is short sleeves weather, Darren. That is the latest in Dunedin today. So we will take that. We have some sunshine out. The Detroit Tigers are here today.
Clark tells me you're in the right field wall, 30 minutes ahead of a game with the Tigers.
Yeah, so basically, if you hit a home run over the left field wall, it's going to land right here. Thankfully, the game's not about to start. You can see behind me the field here, the new TD ballpark. So they basically gutted the old place, made a whole bunch of renovations. All across the outfield is now a catwalk where you can find your favorite tasty beverage and walk around. They've increased capacity of the place, and they're about to finish a 150,000 square foot practice facility, a training facility about 10 minutes from here that both the major leaguers and minor leaguers are going to use starting basically this summer. And so that's going to be a rehab place, and they want a lot of the players to basically make this home base for themselves moving forward.
That's pretty cool. It reminds me of the Mets. They built that brand new facility, but they're not letting their minor league system use it. But this one they will.
But that's the Mets. But that's the Mets. If you're going to do something wrong, that's a blueprint, right? So maybe the Knicks can take a word from them, too.
No kidding. So while we're on the Jays, what's the early optimism or the early prognosis on this year's club?
Well, there's definitely some optimism because their pitching is so much better than it was last year and than it has been for a little while. I mean, they added Hyunjin Ryu from the Dodgers. 4 years, $80 million. They have some depth in their starting staff with Chase Anderson and Tanner Roark coming in. And last year, they went through something like 21 or 20 starting pitchers. That's not going to be the case this season. They actually have some vets, and they have some young guys coming through. Yesterday was the first chance to see the future, guys. Nate Pearson, first-round pick, all 6'6" of them, 22 years old. In his first spring training start in the big leagues, first start of the spring, hit 98 on the radar gun. And this guy has been able to hit 104 before. So he is going to bring some heat, and the velocity is not going to be an issue there.
That's exciting. And, of course, we're excited about the bats. I mean, the another step forward for Bo and for Vlad. There's lots of reasons to be excited because the future, we're starting to see it, right?
Yeah, no question. And they went through that last year. They went through the growing pains. Guerrero is a 19-year-old. Bichette is a 21-year-old. Kevin Biggio in the middle of the infield. And they got their teeth kicked in, but they learned what it takes to be a big leaguer. They learned the grind of the 162-game deal. And for a guy like Guerrero, for instance, he hadn't really worked out in the offseason. He just worked on his swing. Well, he learned that if I need to keep my body ready to go from February to October, it's going to take an altogether different physical element, too. And as Nick will tell you, you can prepare for whatever you want to prepare, but unless you go through it, you won't understand. And those guys went through it last year, which is only going to help them moving forward.
This is kind of jumping the gun. Obviously, it's spring training, but there is a lot of optimism. But what is the realism here? I mean, you're still in with the Yankees. You're still in with Boston. Sox, you know, Tampa's no slouch. Is this...
Yeah, they were a 96-win team last year, Tampa.
Yeah, so playoffs are an unreasonable expectation. Are they not here, Arash?
They are. Yeah, look, they lost 95 games last year.
Yeah.
So if is it realistic that this team could end up around 500, give or take, a 78-win team, an 80-win team?
Right.
Yeah, I think that's realistic,
which
is a significant step forward. But I think a year from now, if we're having this conversation, guys, I think that's when you start talking about the postseason. By then, Nate Pearson should be a regular big leaguer. By then, he will have cemented himself. By then, it's year three for Bichette and Guerrero and the rest. Mm-hmm. But I think this is an important year for them to take the next step. But on top of that, yesterday we learned Luis Severino needs Tommy John surgery. Yeah. That's the Yankees, one of their top pitchers. His season's done. James Paxton won't be back until May or June. This is a real chance for the Blue Jays to take the next big step before they really need to take a leap next season.
Yeah, really excited. It's always fun to be in spring training. Hey, there's a couple of things that have been on our minds and have taken over the conversation. Let's go to the CFL first. And this story with TJ Jones potentially, you know, signing a deal with Toronto at $200,000, but now he's a rookie and he's going to have to sign for close to the league minimum. How bizarre is this? I mean, do we not have to find ways?
No,
is he going to XFL? Is he going to sign for $65,000? No, of course he's not going to sign for $65,000.
He's got multiple offers, that was the report, in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
But how do you fix it? This has to get fixed.
Well, yeah, this has to get fixed, and it must. I mean, the fact that you're going to have guys who played in the NFL, especially as Canadian, and tell them that they're going to come in on a rookie contract – I mean, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is in the middle of a $42 million contract.
Exactly.
He got $22 million to sign. He's going to come up here and play for $3,000, $4,000 a week?
Yeah, I know.
This is the issue, and I think Nick's been in the room, so maybe he can speak more to it. But I just don't understand, when you're putting things together, how you don't have the foresight to map out scenarios and say, well, what if this happens? What if TJ Jones comes back? What if one of these draft picks who went to an American school or a U Sports school comes back? What are we going to do there? It almost seems on an annual basis, or maybe even twice a year, something comes out that totally blindsides them that they never saw coming, and yet it was so obvious when you think about it.
Yeah, this would be a monumental failure if TJ Jones wants to come to the Canadian Football League, but because of this, he ends up going either back to the NFL or to the XFL.
David Onyemata here in Saskatchewan. Perfect.
David
example.
Onyemata is a great example.
Yeah, he is not coming back here for $60K. Sorry, folks.
But even at the same time, they said they'd forgot or they didn't send out the final letter letting all the teams know that this was even possible because everybody bid on TJ Jones. So the teams didn't even know it until this just happened when they denied the contract. So the league never sent it to the teams.
You're a professional league and your message is we forgot.
That's what I'm
is
saying.
Is that where we're at?
Well, and it was the same thing with the coaches cap too. You've got coaches who I've talked to in the league, people on staffs who aren't really sure how the coaches cap works.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, the presidents voted on it and they didn't put themselves in it. So it's everybody that's not that's below the president basically. So you're talking scouts,
isn't
you're talking
convenient?
The equipment crew, crew, you're talking about all these different people and yeah. It makes it very hard. You see coaches going down to the XFL. Here.
It's twofold here, too, because Nick talks about the equipment staff, and I think that's a real important part of this. This is a league and this is a profession that continues to talk about player safety being paramount. Okay, fine. But the equipment staff, and people think all equipment guys do is fold towels and hang up jock straps. The equipment staff, who are suiting those guys up in helmets and pads and understand what it takes when something goes wrong. How are, when these are the people who are to outfit and protect the players and the ones who are subject to this cap, when a GM or a coach is making a decision, they don't care about the equipment staff. They're just trying to get their guys in the building. And to get their guys in the building, they got to pay them. That the equipment staff is in on this staff cap is an absolute joke, and it's an absolute contradiction to the notion that they care about player safety.
Yeah, it's a head scratcher for sure. They're going to have to continue to build on us. Anything else on?
I'm always shocked that I continue to be shocked by some of the moves in this league.
They only say they care about players. They only say they care about player safety to make kids continue to play. Instead of to educate, and to show the facts behind it that you can improve, and they just continue with the lie.
Yeah, and it's a great boilerplate message for the commissioner. A great cup week, but the reality is, what are they doing to show it? And anyway, we're off topic there. But I will say this though, guys, the staff cap has to go. It has to go because if you're a new head coach coming into a scenario, who's a new head coach this year? Toronto, Ryan Dinwiddie.
Yep.
Ryan Dinwiddie is being handcuffed because there were a couple of assistant coaches that were on two-year deals under Corey Chamberlain. So while they get forgiveness on the Chamberlain firing, that won't count towards that cap. Dinwiddie can't hire as many guys as he wants because two other guys are being paid. And how do you go about it? How are you going to bring the brightest and the best if that's how you're going to business? Again, they didn't think things through. They didn't with the staff cap. They didn't with this rookie salary wage. And it's all a matter of penny pinching. Meanwhile, they're promoting players in Austria and Finland, Japan and Mexico to come in and fill roles. Mm-hmm.
I know. Mm-hmm. I'm all for trying new things and trying to grow. I mean, that's how we grow, right? By trying, failing. But I need to see the league not be too proud to admit a mistake if that happens. If they think it's a mistake, oh, that's fine. It's okay that you try CFL 2.0 and it might work, or the coach's cap and it might work. But if it doesn't, don't be afraid to go back the other way and correct the mistake. But I want to continue on the player safety thing because we're talking about that when it comes to the Olympics, which has kind of been in the news the last couple of days. You know, are they going to happen? Are they not? Is it safe to go? Is it not? Nick says, hey, he's not going. If he's in the Olympics, he's not going. But the Olympics are so important to
people are on the edge of not making the 2024 Olympics.
Yeah, but it's important, I think, to our culture, and it's important in society.
Your best Grey Cup moment was what? Probably 14 in Vancouver?
Yeah, was that 14 it? Or, yeah.
So let's say an earthquake hit Vancouver the week before the Grey Cup, and they said there are going to be some mass aftershocks. Take yourself back to 28-year-old Nick Lewis or whatever the hell you were at that age when you were invincible and nobody could take you down and you're about to play for a championship and you've just won the West Final and they say to you, it may be dangerous in the hotel, there may be some aftershocks, we're not going to – it's up to you whether or not you want to go play for a championship. What are you going to do?
I think earthquakes are a little different than coronavirus. I just think viruses are different. And, I mean, I've seen tornadoes. I've drove past tornadoes, and I've put myself in a lot of danger. And I said, if it's going 110, I can go 120, right? That's the young me. But at the same time, I just think with the coronavirus, it's such a different beast. And the fact that they don't have a cure for it and the fact that they won't in the next 3 months, and you don't know how many people's going to have it. I think it's way too early to say anything, but – I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. And 3 months from now, it'll probably be at the worst it's going to get.
I agree with you, Rash. I think there will be those people and enough of them that say, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go and take the chance. I think that's going to happen.
I'm old enough to remember the olden days, 2016, the Rio Olympics, back when we walked to school uphill boat in snowstorms. Come sit on the chair, Grant.
That was a Zika
virus about 4 years ago. That was Zika.
Yeah, 100%.
Before athletes and media went to Rio, we were told, hey, be careful of Zika. You are going to get bitten by a mosquito. You are going to shrivel up and you are going to die. And that's going to happen to anybody who steps foot in Brazil. And, you know, it was a real worry for a little while until it wasn't. I agree with Nick from the standpoint that I think the coronavirus is going to get a lot worse before it gets better. But they're not going to light the flame in Tokyo for another 5 months. And the IOC is a multi-billion dollar business. 73% of its revenues come from broadcast agreements. They are going to move the dates of the Olympics. So it's either cancel them, and they're not getting relocated because nowhere is ready security-wise or facility-wise. It's happening. It would take a massive epidemic that is infinitely worse than now to stop that, to stop those games from occurring.
100%.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to follow. We'll be following it for sure. All right, Arash, we'll let you go. Enjoy the sun in Florida. We appreciate the update.
Have a good one.
Always good, fellas. You got it. Nick, always good, man.
Appreciate you, brother.
All right, Arash Madani from Sportsnet joining us from Jay's spring training in Dunedin. We'll break. We got more to come here on the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. We have a massive inventory of all make, all models pre-owned inventory, and you got to see it to believe it. Trade up on this pre-owned 2018 Volkswagen Golf all-wheel drive for only $19,999 plus tax. Or get into this loaded pre-owned 2018 Ford Explorer all-wheel drive for only $32,999 plus tax. It's time to trade and upgrade at Canada's number one pre-owned Ford store, Capital Ford Pre-Owned.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Everyone loves a deal. Instantly save 50% on locally offered cash value coupons. Plus, a portion of every purchase goes to your favorite cause. Primo Deals, community fundraising. Download the Primo Deals app now to start saving and giving today. Primo Deals, building communities.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Hey, this is overtime for Emerald Water here on the Rod Peterson Show. Let's update the poll question for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Who is Rod cheering for tonight in Las Vegas? The Golden Knights or the Oilers? And 51.3% of you say the Oilers.
That's tight.
And I think Rod was swaying that one. He had the laughing, crying emoji, and he says, tugging at my heartstrings, the Oilers. Golden Knights coming in at 33.3%, and OT both get a point at 14.8%.
He'll probably let us know tomorrow who he's cheering for based on how the game turns out.
Exactly. How do we think that's going to turn out?
Being an Oilers fan, I'd put my money on Vegas.
Vegas?
I'm kind of the eternal guy. Like last night, Duke's taking on Wake Forest. Duke was like an 11-point favorite. I'm like, I'd put my money on Wake Forest any day. Wake Forest won.
Yeah. See?
I'm just a bad fan.
They both
fan.
Scored 100, too.
I think it was double overtime.
Okay.
I'm a bad fan. I'm always so skeptical of my team doing
right.
well.
Vegas.
I guess that's growing up in Saskatchewan all these years. True for the Riders.
Vegas is on the RP bump right now. The Vegas Golden Knights have won 6 straight since Rod showed up in Vegas.
Hot.
Let's go for 7.
It's amazing. They had lost 2 in a row again, out of the playoffs, but they've won 6 in a row since Rod showed up to Vegas, was invited down there by the Golden Knights, and now they're at the top of the Pacific. 76 points. They looking pretty good right now. They'll play Edmonton tonight. What the Oilers have going for them is on the second game of a back-to-back, they're 6-0
so
on the season.
So there's 2 6-0 streaks on the line here.
2 6-0 streaks on the line. Wow. Something has to give tonight.
And let's think about this. It's in Vegas, and 7 is a bad number in craps. It's good when you're coming out, but when you're...
The Edmonton Oilers going from Edmonton to Vegas.
So you'd be lucky. So the Oilers should win, and the Vegas Golden Knights will crap out. They'll 7 out.
They might have been out partying last night.
What do we got for a rant today, guys? Nick on not going to the Olympics. A rash on the CFL. Either way, our rant, Rod's rant for Bronco Plumbing and Heating was taken over today. Bronco Plumbing and Heating, your factory authorized Bryant Furnace dealer. On the Prairie Mobile text line at 306-840-8777. Got some unnamed texters saying Rod has to be cheering for the Edmonton Oilers. That's his team. Stick to your gut. Okay, so I think Rod's doing that.
He's a mercenary.
Yeah, but, you know, he is a mercenary.
Look at this desk. He could be bought off. Look at this. You know, Rams, Dinos,
yeah.
PA Raiders, Saskatoon Blades, Moose Jaw Warriors. He's a lover of all.
And we got more gifts
Man of the
for you, Rod, when you come back. The Saskatoon Blades have dropped off another gift. We'll let you open it when you get back here.
Is it a Les Lazarick bobblehead? Does that exist?
I don't know if it does. Interesting.
Just throwing that
Great
out there.
Great thought. Connor Wallman, remember our first intern? Connor.
Yeah.
Come back and get your diploma. It's still here. We want to see you. It's in the jar back there. Connor, the intern, says, how about them Rangers, though, on fire?
Oh, boy.
They are. The New York Rangers, I wrote this down, actually, this morning. They've now won 4 in a row, 4 points out, and they got 3 games in hand.
Oh, boy.
So interesting. That's going to be exciting. You guys talked about the college basketball. Are you guys into March Madness?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
So we're putting together a bracket.
Sure.
Okay, we're working on some things.
Yeah,
okay, we're working on some things. So if you guys that are watching and listening are into the March Madness, stay tuned. We're going to have a chance for you guys to play here, raise some money for a great organization, and win some really cool prizes.
Texas and North Carolina.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
I grew up in the 90s.
Yeah, I know. And I'm a front runner, too. I'm a Duke guy. Like, I'm a Duke guy. I'm a front runner. I'm a Notre Dame Fighting Irish guy. Like, I'm a total front runner. I admit it.
Yeah. What did we learn today on the program? I mean, we learned some stuff from McLeod Bethel Thompson.
And Nick, bringing it. I love Nick's analysis on this whole CBA thing and guys coming back in a rookie deal and also the 17 games in the NFL. I thought you were outstanding today, Nick. That was great insight.
Yeah, it was really, really good. Big thanks early in hour one to Andy McNamara for joining us from Sportsnet. He's the fantasy sports expert over there at Sportsnet, does his daily fantasy update. He's also a play-by-play for the National Lacrosse League. Toronto Rock are going to be in Saskatoon to play the Rush on Saturday. You're going, Nick.
Hey.
First one, right?
Yeah, it should be going, and yeah, it should be fun.
Oh, it's going to be tons of fun. We make sure, here, we got some... gift cards to Wendell's, so make sure you go and hang out at Wendell's. Pass that down.
Go for a little pregame.
Check out the Rush this weekend.
What's the burger there? What's that big?
The Wendell burger. Fish and chips are good. Everything's good over there at Wendell's, so enjoy. Our Rush report with Andy McNamara this morning was brought to you by Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. So a big thanks to Darnell and Roxanne, who watch every day, for your support of this show and of the Saskatchewan Rush. What's coming up later on tomorrow on the show? Clark, if you want to put that up on my monitor... I wanted to. We missed this today. Wish a big happy birthday to Don Narcisse.
Narco! Yeah.
It's Narco's birthday today, so happy birthday, Don Narcisse. I saw that this morning when I woke up.
Did you know Don before you came up here?
Before...
Like, did you know who Don was before you came up to play ball?
No. I actually didn't even know. I'd watched the 95 Grey Cup.
Baltimore.
On TV.
Nice. Baltimore and Calgary. Yeah.
And I didn't really know a lot about the CFL, but...
It looked cold that day, and you still came up.
It was
cold.
It was snowy and everything, but... Yeah, it's a weird story how I got to Calgary, but yeah. I didn't know many people until I looked at the roster, and then I seen, like, Wayne McGarity. I'm a big Texas Longhorn fan. I seen Albert Connell. Yeah, he's an A&M, so family's huge A&M fan, so... I knew a couple of guys like that, but...
Yeah, I just wanted to be in the same area. Not that there's a couple of guys that come out of Texas and play ball, but I just wondered, you know, being a receiver and a guy.
No. Me and Narco are cool now. We're good.
You guys are good?
Yeah.
He was happy when
I missed that game, when I didn't have a catch that one
game.
Yeah, because then...
His streak
I told him I was
alive.
Coming for it.
Did you?
Yeah. I had, and it was this one game where I was still coming off my injury in 2014, and... Cornish goes down in Edmonton, and I end up playing like 12 plays that game because an American had to come out because American running back went in, and I still wasn't fully healthy. So, so that was the only game I didn't get a catch. And
your whole career?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I had to finish, just had, because he had 216.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I'm coming.
I'm coming.
I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't have a catch in my first Celebrity All-Star game, so I'm over.
Reminds me of the movie.
That's a streak in itself.
Mr. 3000 with Bernie Mac. You know, when he hits the 3000, and everything is Mr. 3000 this, 3000 that. He's got all these different stores, and they find out he only had 297 or something like that.
Really?
They went back in the book.
He had to go get like two hits.
Yeah, so he goes back to play to get two hits. I could see Narco coming back, play another 216 games just to beat you, right? Just to have the record back. And he joined us in Houston for the inaugural Rod Peterson's VIP Sports Experience trip to Houston, which, by the way, we are going to Miami. So contact Michelle at Uniglobe LGI Travel. Get your deposit in if you want to join us. I don't know.
I hear the rumor that J-Lo and Shakira are going to join you guys.
Ooh.
There's a rumor.
That would be exciting.
At Pitbull.
Sign me up.
Starting that one.
Sign me up. I don't honestly know if we've filled all our reserve spots yet or not. So contact Michelle, or you can go to rodpeterson.com/trip and just fill out the information at the bottom of the page, rodpeterson.com/trip, and you can get in on Miami in 2020. This has been fun, guys. Appreciate it.
Can I
say one thing real quick?
Yeah, actually, there's a couple of things. You go there first.
Okay, well, I just want to announce, today's Anti-Bullying Day.
That's what I wanted to get to, okay? Pink shirt day.
Pink shirt
day.
True.
Go into the back room and grab, there might be a pink shirt in there on the rack, anyways.
I'm talking to St. Joan of Arc tomorrow about anti-bullying. And Dunk Out Bullying, Charleston's teamed up with the Rattlers. And, so I'm going to be on part of that team as well.
Pass that down. Should have worn this today.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring it out for the overtime segment. Yeah. I was going to put it on.
Well, you still can.
There you go. Let's put this on.
Put that puppy on. These are from the SJ showcase.
Perfect. Yeah, so continue. You're partnering with the Rattlers, and you got a few things going on.
Yeah, with Charleston. He's doing his second annual stamp out, dunk out bullying. And, yeah, we're going to be traveling. Our first appearance is going to be in English River.
Okay.
So there's going to be 5 appearances with playing basketball and things like that, teaming up with some ex-NHL players and some of the – was it the Saskatchewan Rattlers?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so
shooting guard. You're a shooting guard, right?
Man, look, I'm like Charles Barkley now. I'm a shell of what I used to be, but yeah, I best low post player under 6 foot.
Nice, I like that.
No, and the Rattlers are good, winning the inaugural CBL championship last year. That's going to be lots of fun. So yeah, I did see that this morning. Wanted to make sure I asked you about that. So
yeah,
that's a great initiative.
Yeah, you guys, me and Lee go way back. The CEO, the COO, and president.
Yep.
We go way back to the Calgary days, so.
And the podcast is humming, too. The last episode had some big names on it.
Alex Singleton was a great one.
Huge.
Man. It was just so much motivation and his willing to dig deep within himself and overcome.
Yep.
But you really find out why he does it. Like, every day, everything he does, he says he wants to make the best eggs. He wants to make the best food. He wants to put on the shirt that's best to work out in the show. So everything he does is to be the best.
Wow.
And it's his mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where he is, where he is.
Yeah, like so many people see success, they don't see everything you go through. They've never seen him get cut 13 times.
That's so great. We can keep going here because that's super important.
Yeah,
I could see us going like another hour, just on stuff like that.
I'm hungry. Buddy.
Yeah, I know you are. Feel free to sneak out. No, it's. That's so key. I mean, when you talk about that compete level and everything else, and the things you don't see, I mean. Everybody talks about this job, and it's just like, man, you get to be on TV, and you're having coffee, and you're hanging out with Nick Lewis and Derek Myers.
Oh, yeah, it's easy. You just show up.
You get to do it, and it's really great. It is great. But listen, the day is 24 hours long. This is only 2 hours, and we got commercial breaks. So really, you're on the air for about 90 minutes of the day.
Yep.
You don't see... that you're actually building a business and you're sitting at your desk. Everybody loves to watch TV shows like Suits, and they love Mike and Harvey, and those guys are kicking ass in the courtroom and bullying people around and having lots of fun doing big deals. But you don't really see that Mike walks in with all those folders and he's a super guy.
Yeah.
That he spent like hours and hours and hours and hours and hours writing briefs and writing notes and writing contracts. That's what the job is. You have to love the grind.
Yeah.
Right?
This podcast, I do all the editing and everything and the prep work for the – I don't want to just learn. I want to be able to have something there that I can discuss with everyone that comes on. I'm not going to just because I know you. I want to research you. I want to learn more about you and then have a great conversation. And so that takes work. And, yeah, every podcast I put out takes at least 6-7 hours of work between the pre, the doing, and the post. And, I mean, I just did my first Lunatic Hour – which I'm calling Sack Mountain.
Okay.
Right? So it's the first one I've had multiple people, and it's Charleston Hughes, John Bowman, Sean Lemon, and Willie Jefferson all on one podcast I'm releasing later today.
Wow.
So I'll tell you now, Willie was in a taco restaurant.
Like, wow. So
you can hear like the salsa music in the background a little bit, but it's so fun. I mean, to hear these four guys come from different places, D.C., Texas, New York, and Charleston's from Detroit, right? So you have all these different backgrounds, how they respect each other, and we even talk about what linemen they like to go up against. So
that's cool.
It's trash talk between them and everything, so very good, very good.
That's cool. But yeah, I mean, you have to enjoy the journey. You have to enjoy the process because it's not about – the spotlight's not the job. The job isn't being on TV. The job isn't, to be honest, I mean, the 2.5 hours you play on Sunday in the NFL or, in the CFL, that's not really the job.
No.
The job is all the hours in film,
that's
all the hours on the
top.
Field.
That's the payoff.
Yeah.
That's the payoff.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It is.
You know?
100%.
So that's so key. And then the other one that I've been thinking about lately is when it comes to, like, The Rock is probably the most famous when it comes to hustle and hard work, right? He always says, be the hardest worker in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, but in the room, in your room, right? Because you can always compare yourselves to people in the world who it's impossible. It's next to impossible to be the best in the world. Like, it's really tough, right?
It's fleeting.
I mean, to be the hardest worker, then you go to the military. You can always find somebody who does something. It's hard to be the best worker or the hardest thing at everything. yeah. right? Whether it's eating and working out and studying. You don't have enough time in the day, right?
Yeah.
But in your room, you can always be the hardest worker in your room.
Funny thing about The Rock, today he would be considered a Canadian in the CFL.
Yeah.
So that means in 95, if he was considered a Canadian, he makes the team, he never becomes The Rock.
Wow. It's true.
That's one of the best things that's ever been. One of the best failures of all time.
The greatest failure of all time. But that's how we grow.
Roman Reigns was in Edmonton.
Yeah, Wally cut him,
right?
Didn't he?
But that's how we grow. We grow through failure. We grow through those experiences, right? They shape us. Yeah. You're on the path you're supposed to be on, right?
So think about that. If he succeeded in what he really wanted to be, he wouldn't be making the money making now with a lot less of the pain. And
those Jumanji movies are funny.
They're great.
Yeah. I like them.
They're great, eh? The last one's really...
$20 million a movie.
Yeah.
Forget a season.
Forget a season. The last one's really good. Speaking of, Birds of Prey, saw it last night.
Good. Thanks, Jason.
It's good. Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
Harley Quinn. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
Check that
Thanks,
out.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow on the program. Craig Smith, Director of Scouting, is in the bunker. Les Lazarus calls in. Speaking of Les, you talked about the bobblehead. I don't think there's one. We'll ask him that tomorrow. We'll have Jeff Fulwerk from DraftKings talking the fantasy implications of trade deadline day in the NHL, and we'll talk to Sportsnet's Ken Reed. That'll all be ahead tomorrow on the program. So until then, enjoy your Wednesday, Canada. This is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.